Well, I'm glad to be saved today, and I'm thankful for the time that we celebrate Easter, what it really means. I thank the Lord for the songs that we've sang. They tell a story. The song that we just sang tells a story of what Jesus could have done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he didn't. And we sang the other songs about, let us go a little further. There's a responsibility that we have for what Jesus did. He didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it because of his creation, because of you and I. It wasn't because he did something wrong, it was because you and I did. And we thank the Lord that he was crucified, as the children sang this morning, he was crucified for me. He was crucified for you. Everything that he did was not for his own benefit. He got no benefit out of it. He was already in heaven. It was for him to make a way for you and I to make it to heaven. So he did the things that he did. He went through the sufferings that he went through for you and me. One of the things that I've noticed in our day and time, in our generation, what we find is a lot of people that are questioning whether or not this is really what Jesus did. There seems like there is a surge in people that have marginalized, in one sense, what the crucifixion and what Jesus did. And they want to say things that God is this loving God. But there is two sides of God. Oh, behold the goodness and the severity of God. God is a good God. I want everyone here to know that and to understand that God is a good God. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about every little detail in your life. He's concerned about whether or not you can pay your bills, whether or not you have a job. He's concerned about your health. He's concerned about what you're going to do on Friday night. He's concerned about everything that concerns you. I want you to know that. And he will give you a direction in your life if you'll allow him to. One of the things that he won't do, he won't intrude on you. He won't force you to do things that you don't want to do. If you don't want to live for him, he's not going to make you do it. But he's going to talk to you, maybe in a quiet time when it's just you and him. When you land on your bed and you're thinking about what happened today and maybe the near miss and all the things, we just had this tornado that came through, and it was very terrifying in one sense. If you were in the wake of it, it could be a very terrifying thing. And do you know, God speaks to us through those kinds of things. Yeah. We realize and we understand, oh boy, we were just lucky that nobody got killed. That wasn't luck, that was the mercy of God. That God had a very deliberate plan. He wanted to talk to Dallas, Texas. He wanted to let us know that it was a nice sunshiny day the other day. It seemed like there was nothing in the works. Then all of a sudden we have this grand tornado. And he wants to talk to us through those little things. And he wants to talk to you through the situations and circumstances of your life. He wants to talk to you at times like this as we celebrate. You know what we have? This is Easter Sunday. And folks want to get little bunny rabbits and little Easter eggs and all that kind of thing. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. He died for me. He's concerned about me. He's concerned about where I am going to spend eternity. So what does he do? He talks to us during times like this. When we're enlightened and we're reminded, and I believe we need things like this, where we're reminded of what the cross of Christ really meant. What it really meant for him to suffer and for him to die for you and for me. I thank the Lord that he's done it for me. And my desire and my determination is to live a life that can be pleasing in his sight. And I believe that we don't have much longer. I believe this is why the Lord talks to us. The Lord speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us through individuals. In various ways he speaks to us. And I want to be in a position where I can hear his voice. Let us turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter. And I want us to read, and we're going to read quite a bit here. I want us to begin reading at the first verse. If you have it, you can start reading for us. Matthew 28, verse 1. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to the dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulchre. Yes, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, women, fear not ye, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, For he is risen,
as he said.
Come see.
See the place
where the Lord lay.
And go quickly.
Go quickly
and tell his disciples
that he is risen from the dead.
And behold,
he goeth before you into Galilee.
There shall ye see him.
Lo,
I have told you.
And they departed quickly from the sepulchre
with fear and great joy,
and did run to bring his disciples word.
And as they went to tell his disciples,
behold,
Jesus met them, saying,
All hail.
And they came
and held him by the feet
and worshipped him.
Then said Jesus unto them,
Be not afraid,
go tell my brethren
that they go into Galilee,
and there shall they see me.
Now when they were going,
behold,
some of the watch
came into the city
and showed
unto the chief priests
all the things
that were done.
And then they were
assembled with the elders
and taking counsel,
they gave
large money unto the soldiers,
saying,
Say ye,
his disciples
came by night
and stole him away.
In other words, tell a lie
about what happened.
All right?
Don't tell the truth
that he really is arisen.
Now, I want to bring out a
point here. Here
is Mary. The
Marys, the women
came to
the sepulcher,
the tomb where
Jesus was laid,
and they were going
to address the
body, and they were
wondering who was going to roll
away the stone.
And when they got
there, the angel
had rolled away the stone.
The people that had
been set there, the
soldiers that had been
set there to
keep this tomb,
make certain that nobody
robbed this grave
and took Jesus'
body away
and said that he
is risen and whatnot.
They wanted to make certain
that he was secure there.
But let me tell you,
even a stone can't
hold, soldiers
can't hold him.
Nothing can hold him.
When the Lord
says, whatever he says,
when it's time to
get up and rise up,
he's able to do it.
He has
power and victory
over death.
He has power and
victory over hell.
He has power and
victory over sin.
I want you to know that.
I want you to know that
there is nothing
that
can hold Jesus
down.
Nothing at all.
So here's the first
thing. The angel
came and he sat down
on the stone
and he told
the women,
I know he's been
crucified. You're looking
for Jesus.
He's been crucified.
He's not here.
He's risen.
Let me tell you,
one of the things that
I want us to understand
as I was
meditating
upon this thought,
and
the Lord was giving it to me.
One of the things that
he showed me, he was
crucified.
That means he was dead.
What does crucifixion mean?
That means
he died on a cross,
that they nailed him
to a cross,
not for his
sins, not for what he
did, not as a
punishment for him,
but that he was
as a substitute punishment
for me.
All of us
deserve to die.
Why?
Because we've all sinned.
And Scripture says very
plainly,
all have sinned
and come short of the
glory of God.
But Jesus,
in his
love for you and I,
and his mercy
for us, what
he said is, I'll die
in their stead.
Because he is,
not only was he
able to die, but
he was able to rise
again. I want us to
understand that we're
dealing with and
we're serving
a risen Lord today.
Death
has no
kind of
bound
on him.
He's able
to
conquer death.
Now, one of
the first things I want to
say is, he
was crucified, he died.
Then the
first thing that
when the
angel rolled the stone
away, what did he
require of the women?
I want you
to go and tell
somebody that he's
not here.
Yes. He's
arisen
and he's not here.
Now
they went to
literally
a cemetery.
And in
this cemetery, there
were, what is in a
cemetery?
Dead people.
But
Jesus Christ
wasn't dead
anymore. What was the point
in him staying
around if
he's not dead anymore?
You know,
I look at it like
this, and the Lord brought
it to my mind like
this, where he says
he's not here.
He's risen.
He's not here.
Do you realize
that when you and I
are risen
out of the dead
state of sin, we're
not sinners anymore.
We've
come to a place
that we've
humbled our heart before
the Lord. We've asked
God
to clean us up.
We've confessed
and forsaken our
sins.
Lord, I'm
sorry for the
sins that I've committed.
Do you know,
I had to do it.
Everybody
that's saved had to do it.
Lord,
have mercy on me.
Forgive me
of the sins that I've
committed.
Come into my heart,
into my life.
Make your abode with
me. Live
in me. Live
through me.
And do you know what
happens at that moment,
as the sister was
bringing out today?
I die on
my cross.
I am crucified
with Jesus.
Nevertheless,
I live.
Yet not I.
He lives in me.
He
gives us the power
and the
ability
to be able to
live a
life that is holy
and is free from
sin. I believe that with all of
my heart.
Not because somebody told
me about it.
Not because this is how
my mama or my
daddy or my grandma
them taught.
But it's because of something
that I've experienced
is real.
It's real for
me. All right, so their requirement was to go and tell somebody. Let me tell you who else he told to go and tell somebody. So we have a witness. His followers, women, let me tell you, they held a very valuable place in telling the news about Jesus' resurrection. All right, so he told them, you go and you tell my disciples that I'm going to be in Galilee and I want them to meet me there. Let me tell you who else had a witness. There was two soldiers there, and if you go into Luke and the different other chapters, it talks about that they said, listen, let us stake two soldiers here, because what they're going to do in the middle of the night, they're going to come and steal his body away and say that he's risen, and we don't want that. One error would be greater than the other. So he said, we're going to have some armed guard that are standing at this tomb. Now I want to understand, Jesus isn't there, but the stone is still over the tomb. Have you noticed that? Did you notice here that the angel didn't move it for Jesus? He moved it for Mary, for the Marys. Jesus was already gone. You're seeking the one that is crucified. Let me tell you what that is. There is power in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. You can do things. Folks want to say you can't live a holy life. Let me tell you, you can do things when you're saved and the power and the grace of God is in your life and living through you. You can do things that are impossible for other people to do. That's what the resurrection is all about. The resurrected power of Jesus Christ was the fact that the stone did not need to be rolled away. You'll find out after he rose, there were times that he just walked through a wall. Now he didn't need to push and roll the stone away. What he did is walk through it. We have to understand that he is the creator of that stone. He has power over that stone. And so he walked right through it. This is the power of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. All right, so Mary and him, they went and they were, what did it say? They went with fear and with joy. They were happy and scared at the same time. I believe I would have been too. That here it is that we came and we looked and he said, I want you. The angel didn't say that he's not here and you don't have, I want you to look at the evidence. He said, come here. I want you to see where he was laying. I want you to know with your own eyes that you're an eyewitness that he's not here. And let me tell you one of the things that the Lord brought to my mind. When I am resurrected, when we have been resurrected from the dead state of sin, we don't frequent the places where dead people are anymore. I don't go to the clubs, not because our church teaches against it, because that's where dead people are. I don't go to the places that I used to go. I don't do the things that I used to do. Why? Because that's not where I'm living anymore. That's not where I am anymore. He's not there. He's risen. There is something else in me that draws me to that which is life. Thank the Lord. All right, now, so here are the keepers, those that were responsible for making certain that the stone didn't get moved. But it had got for Jesus, but it got moved for them. So what do? They went to their employers, and they said, "Listen, we want to tell you the story. You all told us to stay there so that his disciples wouldn't steal him away. His disciples didn't steal him away." But let me tell you what happened. An earthquake happened and we were like we were asleep and we saw this angel. He's not there. So here's somebody else testifying. These are people that were non-believers. They were testifying just like the believers were. He's not there. So you and I need to understand that we as people of God, we as God's creation, the reason that we are in this building today is because he's not there. Amen. He is risen. He reigned over death. He reigned over hell. He reigned over sin. He reigned over everything. Yes. And you can have a part of that life. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank the Lord.
You know, as a man of God, as a person, I don't feel deprived. My life is not a life of deprivation where you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other. Let me tell you what my life is. I don't do that and I don't do that and I don't do the other. Why? Because the Lord has taken the want to out of my heart. Oh, let me tell you, I used to do it, and I used to want to do it, and sometimes I used to not want to do it, and I did it anyway. That's my experience. Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore. I promise I'm going to be good. And I realized that it wasn't in me to be good. I couldn't do it. And maybe you do it out for maybe a month or 2 months or 6 months, but then you had these temptations, and before you know it, you were doing it again. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you what I found. When I came to an altar of prayer, and I bowed down before the Lord, and I begged Him, Lord, if You'll take this away for the last time, I'll live for You all the rest of my days. And you know what He did? He took it away. And you know what He did? He put inside of me something that makes me want to live for Him. And so now when I have, you know how they say, I'm going to use this as an example. You have a little devil sitting on one side, a little angel sitting on the other side, and they're whispering to you. Oh, he whispers. The devil still whispers. And he still tries to get you to go in another direction. There is something that's far more powerful. I can say, get thee behind me, Satan, and he has to do it. I have power over him that I didn't have before. And it's that resurrected power of Jesus Christ. I am an eyewitness that is possible. I'm an eyewitness that you can live a holy and a righteous life where? Right here in this present world. Right here, right now, you can do it. And let me tell you what some folks will say. Well, Brother Darrell, the reason that I'm not saved today is because there are so many things that I got the can't help it. Let me tell you, the Lord delivers from the can't help it. All of us have the can't help it. How many of y'all didn't have it? How many of you didn't have the can't help it? Whatever it is that you set your mind to do that was not sinful, you just could do it without the power and the grace of God. You can't do it. All right. Okay, let's go a little further here. Yes, please.
13. Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And
yes.
If he come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you.
Yes.
So they took the money,
and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day.
Then the 11
disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded them. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's go to Mark, the 16th chapter. I want to read a little bit there. And it's the same story, but I want you to bear with me. Start at the first verse.
When the Sabbath was passed,
Mary Magdalene
and Mary, the mother of
James and Salome,
had bought sweet spices
that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. They were early. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed and in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples, and tell Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him as he said unto you. So he said, go and tell your disciples and Peter. Now, I believe he said that to Peter because Peter was the one that denied him. He denied him three times. He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Let me tell you something. Peter was a man that felt like he was a strong-willed man, first of all. And he was a man that felt like he could just stay with Jesus no matter what happened. And you know, sometimes we feel like we have more going for us than we really do have going for us. We feel like that no matter what comes our way, I'm going to have the grace and the power to be able to stand. But let me tell you, we need to understand that the power of the devil is far greater than the power that we have in and of ourselves. But let me tell you, when we have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning, and we've given ourselves over to Him, there is no power in the universe that can stand against the power of God. May the Lord help us to know that within the very depths of our heart, and not just know it intellectually, but to believe it with everything that we have, that I can live a righteous and a holy life right here in this present world if I yield to the Lord and I allow Him to be my Lord and Master. Lord, help us.
Amen.
You can do it. And it's not hard either. You know what makes it hard? What makes it hard is that we halt between two opinions. When you, and let me tell you, I know because I've had experience in my past where I lived for the Lord for a little while and then I gave Him up. And then I lived for Him and I gave Him up. And I lived, you know what my problem was? It was in my teenage years. You know what my problem was? I had not made it up in my mind that do or die, I am going to live for the Lord. I'm going to be saved if it kills me. And backsliding is not an option for me whatsoever. It's not even part of my vocabulary, my itinerary. It's not even a part of it. So the only thing that I have is the focus that I'm going to live for the Lord. And what happens is we look at the world and it looks attractive. And there are some things about the world that's attractive to all of us. Alright? So we look at it as attractive, and then we look at the ways of God, and all we see sometimes, and rather than our focus being on the blessings and on the wonderful peace that He gives us, and how we can go to bed at night and not feel that if we die we're in trouble, we don't look at that. What we look at is the fact that we have trials and sufferings and problems. And when I was saved, and this is what happened, and that's what happened, and it didn't seem like things went with the Lord, didn't save us for everything to go our way.
Amen.
He didn't save us, as we've heard many, many times, for folks to treat us right. They're not going to treat us right. We had a lesson about that this morning in Sunday school. Folks are not going to like you when you embrace wholeheartedly the things of God, and you determine in your mind, I'm going to live for Him. Do you know you're going to have enemies? But do you know what? I'd much rather have these earthly enemies than for the Lord to turn His back on me. He doesn't have to do it. I don't have to do that. He can embrace me, and I want to be embraced by Him. All right? Let's go a little further here. Continue reading, please.
Eight. And yes. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher.
Yes.
Where they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid.
Yes.
Now when Jesus was risen... Risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene.
He appeared to Mary Magdalene.
Out of whom he had cast
seven devils. Now let me tell you something. This woman that it has the ability to go and that He gives the charge, not the ability, not just the ability, but He gives the charge. You go and you tell my disciples. Do you know what this woman was? Who this woman was? He said, out of this woman He cast seven devils. Do you realize? Let me tell you something. Do you suppose that folks are possessed by demons today?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something else. We've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Do you know a lot of demons are starring in their own movies? Have you noticed how many demonic movies there are in our generation? Just demons. Giving folks extraordinary power and whatnot. This woman was completely possessed, and He laid His hands on her and cast out demons. Do you know that there are folks today that the reason they can have victory in their soul is because they're demon possessed? Lord, help us. And let me tell you, if this woman could be delivered and then have such a key role, and in my mind, maybe the reason that the Lord chose her is because He can say most of us don't have seven demons. Most of us have not gone into the level of depravity that Mary Magdalene had went into. So if He can do it for Mary, He can do it for us.
Yes.
If He can do it for her, He can do it for you.
Yes.
And let me tell you, you don't want to have anything to do with demons. Let me tell you, devil is not to be played with.
Amen.
Let me tell y'all something. Somebody was telling me about, I'm going to say, Brother Darrell, there you go. How you know about the Grammys? Oh, I know about the Grammys. Ain't that what it was? Ain't that where the singers are?
Yes.
And they had this in the Super Bowl. A couple things that I've seen about that. You know what I believe happened at the Grammys where that Nicki Minaj was laying on that thing? I saw it. I saw it on YouTube. She was laying on that. You know what it was? That was a satanic ritual in broad daylight.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I don't care what nobody say, but there's some spirits involved in that.
Amen.
A woman needs to be delivered.
Yeah.
You don't do that kind of stuff. You don't have that kind of... what are probably the two of the most widely watched things in America? The Super Bowl and the some of these kind of award assemblies. These people are possessed. And let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else. Some of these things behind where these folks rise up into these great places, they don't rise up by themselves. It's because she's not even that talented. Have you ever heard of her? She really isn't. But there's something behind that. Let me tell you, don't play with the devil.
Amen.
There's something behind this. This woman, Mary of Magdalene, she was possessed by demons. Let me tell you, there are a lot of folks that are in the entertainment world that are possessed by demons. They need to be delivered. Lord have mercy.
Hear it.
Oh, Brother Darrell.
It's the truth.
Super Bowl. That was Madonna, wasn't it? That was a ritual too. Somebody was telling me about that one. But let me tell you, these things we need to be aware of. We don't need to hold our head in the sand and pretend that they're not there because we're so holy and we go to church. These things have an impact on us. And what happens in this is that we open ourselves up to it and we're ignorant to it. And because we're ignorant to it, we're sympathizing with these things that are demonic. You hear what I'm saying? They're demonic. And let me tell you something else. I've read books about people that have come out of Satanism. And the very things that they did at that Grammy Award is the very thing that they do in various places out in the woods and whatnot. They do the exact same thing. May the Lord help us to understand that we're living in a time that we've got to stand true to the Lord, and we can't sympathize with those kinds of things. Y'all, this is current events. All right, this is happening right now. Lord help us. All right, y'all still with me? But let me tell you the good news. The good news is that we have a Savior that came that can deliver anybody. Madonna, Nicki Minaj. You know, sometimes I'll probably never see them, but you know what? I can pray for them. Because I know that their souls are in trouble. I know that these people are in trouble. And if I don't pray for them, who's going to pray for them? That somewhere, somehow, the Lord can get a hold of their heart because eternity is too long.
That's right.
And saying, this is why I don't play with the devil. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. And I can't throw him. So when he presents something to me that looks cute, I don't have nothing you have. I don't want nothing you got. Because every time you get something that he has, there is something attached to it. There is the fine writing right at the bottom of it. It basically says, if you've got this, then I can do this to you. And you know, some of the reasons that folks are vexed in their spirit is because they're holding on to things that belong to the devil. And if you just release those things and let, you can have whatever is yours, whatever got your name on it, your initials on it, I don't want anything to do with it, it's yours, I don't want it. When you give it to him like that, he can't touch you by the help and the grace of God. All right? This is what Jesus came and died for.
Yes.
To deliver this woman from evil spirits.
Yes.
To deliver me.
Yes.
To deliver you. To deliver every one of us from whatever it is that was vexing us. The Lord came to deliver. This is what this resurrected life is all about. All right? Continue to read, please.
She went and told them
that had been with him, and they mourned and wept.
And they, when they had heard
that he was alive, and a scene of her, she saw it. She knew it. But when she went and told it to them, they didn't believe. Lord, help us.
Amen.
Have you ever been in a place, I don't care who you are, Have you ever been in a place that somebody's told you about what God has done for them and you didn't believe it? You didn't believe that He really... These are not people around the world. These were... Here again, we see that the soldiers went to there, the high priest, the Jews and whatnot, and they believed Him, even though they wanted to cover it up. They knew something happened. But His disciples didn't believe Him. Lord, help us. Read.
After that, He appeared in the form unto two of them. And as they walked and went into the country...
Yes.
When they told
it
unto the residue,
they didn't believe Him. Oh my goodness. Do you believe what I'm talking about? Do you believe that Jesus can save you from sin? Do you believe that Jesus can deliver you from whatever it is that's troubling you right now? Do you believe that Jesus can give you the peace in your spirit that you need right now? Do you believe that Jesus can do anything? There is nothing too hard for my God. Do you believe that? You know, sometimes we have to say to ourselves, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. There's something about it that I don't quite believe to the level that you want me to believe. So, Lord, I want to believe like you want me to believe. Do you believe He can do it? I believe He can do anything. I believe that He would not have gone through the difficulty and the suffering and all that, the shame and the reproach that He went through, that He died on a cruel cross and went through all of that agony, that He was whipped on His back and all the things that He went through, if it was just to keep me in sin.
Right, right. Amen.
Why would I want to do that? Why would He do that? That was where we were to begin with.
Right.
So He can deliver us. I believe that. If He can deliver Mary Magdalene from seven demons that held her bound, He can deliver me from sin that has me bound. Or deliver you from sin that has you bound.
Yeah.
And keep us delivered. Okay. You know, in one place He says, go out of him and enter no more into him. You can't even come back. May the Lord help us. Read.
Afterward, He appeared
unto the leaven as they sat at meat.
And
what did He do? He upbraided them. He scolded them. He talked about them. He said he was disappointed. Upbraided them
with their unbelief
and hardness of heart
because
they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. You know, sometimes what causes us to have hard hearts is because we desired something and it hasn't happened this time. And then we prayed for something. I've had people say this to me. I prayed and I asked God and I believed that it was going to happen. And then it didn't happen and my heart grew a little harder. They didn't say that part.
Yeah.
And then I prayed and I really believed. And I thought it was going to happen. And I thought I really believed. And it didn't happen again. And my heart grew a little bit harder. You remember Pharaoh? Every time that when Moses and Aaron did something and then the magicians did it, Pharaoh's heart grew a little harder.
Yeah.
Because I can take care of this myself. Every time that I take care of something and it happens because of my own ingenuity and my own ability, then my heart can grow a little hard because I take the credit for what God has done.
Yeah.
So here's His disciples. And He said, He upbraided them. He scolded them. He was disappointed. He said, listen, all these things that I told you, I gave the prophecy. There were many times, and we won't go all into it, but there are many times He said, He told them in one place, I believe when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, tell no man about what happened until the Son of Man is risen. So He told them, I'm going to die. And if you go and you look up in the New Testament, there are many, many, many scriptures that talk about, Paul talks about it all through his writing, Jesus, who was raised from the dead, He was raised from the dead, y'all. He was raised from the dead. Do you know what that is? You know what death? You know why we even have death? You know what the scripture says? He says, told Adam and Eve, and don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day that you eat thereof, what's going to happen? You're going to surely die. It's not going to, you're going to might die, or you might get a little sick. You're going to die. So when they disobeyed God, then that issued in death. And we all are going to die. Do you realize that every person in here, no matter how much vitality you have, one day you're going to die?
Yeah.
Every one of us. One day, somebody's going to be preaching my funeral. And you know, the one thing that I want, the only thing that matters to me, is not what you think about me, because you know what? I've seen that people can turn against you. People that once embraced you, people that once loved you, people that once set you up on a pedestal, so to speak, they can pull you down and pull the pedestal down with you. So that doesn't concern me. You know what concerns me? Lord, how do you see me? I want you to, I want to live so that you can be pleased. I'm not so concerned about what everybody else thinks. I'm not so concerned about how they view me, but Lord, I want to make certain that I know you in the way that you want me to know you. I want to make certain of that. And I live that way every day. We live that way, don't we? You want to live that way. Isn't it? That's wonderful. It's a wonderful way to live. All right, read.
15.
Uh-huh.
And he said unto them,
Go
ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
All right, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now here is what we're... First of all, he upbraided them. And everybody that saw Jesus in these moments, you notice that they went and told somebody? They were eyewitnesses. The women that went, they went, there were two of them that went, and then there were two soldiers that went and told those that were unbelievers. Then he was walking, and there were two that were on the road to Emmaus, and he talked to them, and then they went and told them that they had met Jesus, and nobody believed him. Now he's at his disciples, and he's telling them, he upbraided them and said, listen, when I tell you something, I want you to believe it. I gave you all kinds of prophecies. I gave you all kinds of understanding that I would die. You saw me. Let's turn to another scripture. Let's go to Mark. Let's hold the thought that we have. Mark 10 and 32. Let's read that.
Yes.
They were afraid to ask him. Yes. That's 10 and
32. They were in the way
going up to Jerusalem. Jesus went before them. They were amazed. As they followed, they were afraid. He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. This is him prophesying here, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, scourge him, spit on him, they'll kill him. Oh, but it seemed like it should have said, but the third day. But the third day he shall rise again. Let me tell you, they're going to do all of this thing, and if they did it to him, don't you suppose that they're going to do it to us? You know, we cannot expect, while we're living in this time world, that everybody is going to like us.
Amen.
When we were in sin, they didn't like us. When we were doing what they were doing, the folks that we were doing it with didn't like us. They get jealous of us, and they wouldn't want to be around us anymore because of something we did. But you know what? Now that we're saved and we're living for the Lord, you know some folks ain't going to like us too. But let me tell you, there is resurrected life that we can have that doesn't kill my life because somebody didn't like me. It doesn't destroy the light. It doesn't destroy me. I don't get depressed and want everybody and huddle around me. I don't get depressed. Why? Because I realize that there's something greater. There's a greater life in me. It's the life of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
The life of Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right. So he tells them to go into all the world. We're back into the 16th chapter of Mark. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. To every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It is not our responsibility to make people believe. It's our responsibility to preach. We cannot make them believe. He said, if you believe, you're going to be saved. If you don't believe, and not everybody is going to believe. They can believe, but not everybody will. So what is the good news of the gospel? The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is risen. The good news of the gospel is that when he rose, what he did, what we have to understand is that sin is the result. We must understand that sin, that death is the result of sin. Death and sin are intertwined. You can't separate the two of them. And so when Jesus came and what he did and when he conquered death, what he in essence is conquered the very thing that caused death. And so this is why we understand that Jesus, that we can live a holy and a righteous life, because what he did is he came to undo what Adam did. Adam sinned and caused us into death, pulled us into death, and Jesus died to take us out of it. Isn't that wonderful? So he reversed. One put us into death, and the other took us out of death. And so now, even though I have to die in the natural body, I don't have to die in the spirit. My spirit is alive. And my spirit is just, it's vibrant. He said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That's the gospel story. The gospel story is I don't have to sin more or less every day. I don't have to. Why? Because Jesus walked through a stone. Because Jesus overcame death. And if he overcame death, then he overcame sin as well. See what I'm saying? I can go a little deeper into it, but this is just the essence of it. Adam put us there. Jesus took us out. You know, Adam didn't sin prior to him eating of the forbidden fruit. There was no sin in Adam's life. And so what Jesus did is he came to put us back at that place that we could live a holy. He said, except, what's the scriptures talk about? Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It's our right standing with God. All right, I'm moving toward our conclusion. I know I've been here for a while, but I appreciate your patience. All right, let's go to let's go to John 11. It's one place in Philippians that speaks about the power of his resurrection. Power of it. What does that mean? Resurrected power. The resurrected power is that we have power and authority over sin and death. All right? Let's go to John 11, 21.
Then said Martha
unto him,
Lord,
Lord, so this is talking about Lazarus. We know the story of Lazarus, and Lazarus died, and they buried Lazarus. He'd been there for 3 or 4 days, and Jesus waited. Jesus decided, I'm not going to go, because Lazarus is, I want Lazarus to be good and dead, and I want everybody to understand he's good and dead. And then I'm going to go, and I'm going to raise him up from the dead. He told his disciples that. He said, well, Lazarus sleepeth. They said, well, if he sleep, he's doing well. They said, no, he's dead. I want you to understand, I'm not using metaphors and euphemisms and whatnot. He's dead. And Jesus way over somewhere else, and Lazarus way over here dead, and he said, I'm going to wait a few more days, so he's good and dead. And what did they say? Well, Lord, when he tell him to move away the stone, what did they say? Well, Lord, by now he's stinking. He's been there for 4 days. He said, what did I say unto you? Move the stone. But I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself. Let's go read where you are. Yes. Yes. 21. Yes, 21. 20. If you'd been here, Lord, my brother had not died. I have the confidence in you. Hold on a moment, y'all. Saints, let me tell you something. If Jesus was right here, we would really believe that he could do anything. If he was here in person and we knew that was him, wouldn't it? Well, we'd have all kind of folks lined up, getting prayed for. His altar would be full. I would be there. I'd find something for him to pray for me for. But do you know what? He is here. And if we could just, by the grace of God, grasp it, then we could have the very things that he would give us if he was here in person. Lord, help us read.
But I know
that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, he said, I'm the resurrection. I want us to understand this. I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. I am the resurrection. It's not just the last day, but let me tell you, when I say what I'm going to say, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. I can raise this man up from the dead. I can put life back into him, thanks the Lord. Let me tell you, those of you that are in the dead state of sin, the Lord can raise you up and put life into you, eternal life into you. All right, read.
And the life,
he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you know what? Yes, my body is going to die, but my soul isn't. I will never die. I'll live on and on throughout the ages, praise God. Why? Because I know him. I know the resurrection and the life. And how do I live? The verse that Sister Rose was bringing out. I live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, which raised from the dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's Christ, the resurrection and the life that's living in me. Isn't that wonderful? Just like this person can be possessed by a demonic spirit. This Mary Magdalene can be possessed by a demonic spirit. You and I can be possessed by the Spirit of God that rules and reigns and has control of our lives. Praise God as we give it to Him. He won't force it. Isn't that wonderful? That's the good news. The good news is I don't have to sin. I'm not going to tell you, stand up here and tell you that I was always a good boy. I wasn't. You wasn't either. But I can tell you by the grace of God, I can live right now. Why? Because of God's power and His grace. And that life, that resurrected life, He said, I am the resurrection. I'm just not life. I'm the resurrection. I can raise you all up right here, right now. Thank the Lord. All right. Do you believe it?
Believest thou this?
She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went away, called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. All right, now I'm going to jump over to 36. Let's go 32. Mary was come where Jesus was, saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus can be touched. He can be touched by what we're touched by. This is what it shows us. That when we cry, he cries. When we are concerned about something, he's concerned about it too. All right? He said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see.
Jesus wept.
Then said the Jews,
behold how he loved
them. Some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Could he have done that? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that you have heard me, and I knew that you heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? What happened, y'all? What happened? What it says, and he that was dead obeyed him. He came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. That's what he did for me. I was a Lazarus that was in a tomb. I was dying. I was dead. Not already dying. I was dead in trespasses and sin. And what did he say? Take away the stone where there is this ability to penetrate and get through, where you can see me and I can see you. May the Lord help us to realize and understand that the Lord wants those stony places of unbelief in our heart, where our heart has grown harder and harder and harder. The Lord wants that taken away. And once we take it away, we can see our dead state, and we can see that the Lord is able to deliver us and raise us up. And what happened? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And what did Lazarus do? Lazarus got up. A dead man got up. May the Lord help us. Isn't that wonderful? He had to die again. But Jesus is up there alive. Oh, may the Lord help us. Don't you want to live for the Lord? Don't you want to live for Him? Don't you want to know Him in purity? It's not a hard thing. And I'm almost finished here. It's not a hard thing. It's not hard. I found it to be the easiest thing that I've ever done. When I found it to be hard, it was when I was holding on to something that I didn't want to do. Then it made it hard. All right, we're almost done here. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, yes. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him.
And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All right, now I want to read that in the Amplified Version. It says, the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it.
put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it or is unreceptive to it. So in other words, what this is saying, the life is the light of men. The two things that we don't like is death and darkness, naturally. You know what Jesus is not? He is not death and he's not darkness. He is the complete opposite. He is light and life. He's light and life. All right, I'm going to read Romans 6, verse 4. We're buried with him. So I want to talk to you just a moment in closing about baptism. So we have this baptistry. And what we do is we fill it with water. And when someone has made the confession that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and they've given their heart to the Lord, there is a ordinance that we perform, which is called baptism. And what that baptism represents is the very thing that we're celebrating here today. It represents that I have been crucified with him, that I died to the old life that I had. And then I was buried with him in the tomb, along with him. I'm crucified with him, I'm buried with him. Let's read. And then I'm resurrected out of this watery grave. It is a type of what literally happens in the spiritual realm. All right, read. We're buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I'm not there. I'm not the same man that I was. I don't go to the same places that I did. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, this is what it's talking about. This is the practical, literal, our old man, the old life that we had is crucified
with him,
that the body of sin might be destroyed,
that henceforth
we should not serve sin.
For he that is dead
is freed from sin. Now that's not talking about that a person when they die they are free from sin, and whatever state that you die literally in, that's the state that you're going to be in. But what this is talking about, the death that this is talking about, is the death that we've taken as far as I've died to my old life. I've died to the way that I've used to do things. I've died to the way that I want, and I've accepted the way that Christ wants in me. All right, now Colossians 3 and 1, and we'll be finished. If ye then be risen with Christ,
seek those things which are above,
where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. This is very practical. This is very practical. All right? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is what? He is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I'm looking forward to that, saints. You know what? One thing I will do, I will make it to heaven. It's not an arrogance that we say, it's just there's no other alternative for me. It's just something that I feel like the Lord has died for. And he's made a very serious, given us a very serious invitation to make it to heaven. And why wouldn't I go? You suppose that we'd all go to the White House, the president invited us, an all-expense-paid trip. Or we'd go to Queen Elizabeth if it was an all-expense-paid trip. Most of us would be jumping on it, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Well, Jesus has paid an all-expense-paid trip to heaven. Let us go. May the Lord help us. Let us stand. There may be someone that has a desire to pray. Appreciate your patience.